Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Good evening and welcome back to the Pod Tims channel. It is myself, Darren, and I'm here with Tony and Andy tonight, and we're going to discuss an eventful weekend in Scottish football as Celtic seen the lead at the top of the table stretch as nearest rivals St Mirren drop points at Kilmarnock. It was in crazy fashion as well, with 3 goals in the last 10 minutes of the game. There was also a few casualties in the managerial scene in Scotland, notably an unlucky man, some would say, and Michael Beale losing his job at Rangers, so I'm sure we'll have a wee laugh about that as well. And also we're on the brink of match day 2 in the Champions League, where Celtic will host Lazio, and the first home game of this campaign has looked to get their first points of the group on board. Tony, I'll bring you in. We were all in each other's company for once. I know it doesn't happen because we stay quite far away from each other these days, but we were all together this weekend. It turned out to be quite the weekend in Scottish football, and started off with Celtic and lunchtime kickoff at Burr Park, a game with no many chances. I know Scott Bain had a few saves, but All the drama came in the last sort of 10 minutes of that game, with Lewis Palmer getting his first Celtic goal, which looked to, I think everybody at that point thought it had seen Celtic gain all 3 points, but Blair Spittle equalised in the 95th minute, and thankfully, a bit like last season when we done it at McDermott Park, Celtic went up there at end and scored again in unbelievable fashion. What did you make of the weekend?
That was a really good weekend. Obviously, we were all in Derry for a piss-up, which was good fun. So I watched the first half of the game in my bed on Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon because it was a bit rough. It wasn't a great game. I thought we were in control for large spells, but just lacking that kind of... Some of the passing was really poor, just lacking that kind of final pass to split Motherwell open and get the winner. I was delighted for Palmer. I thought, good way to get your confidence up, because he's not really done anything as yet since he came to Celtic. He's a kind of limited chances and limited playing time, and I thought, oh, that's a great one for him to get. And then Motherwell scored, I think, the 95th minute, and I felt sick. I thought, fucking hell, what a dreadful kind of goal to lose. I think Liam Scales gets beat really easily. Turnbull doesn't really get anywhere near it, and it just kind of goes right into the corner, and you're thinking, fuck, is our lead we done really well to build to get to 4 points going to be cut to 2? And then in kind of typical Celtic fashion, I guess Ange get the we never stop mantra. Don't get me wrong, his team scored so many late goals, but it's been a Celtic mantra for as long as I've been watching us. I mean, even under Rodgers, the first time, I'm sure we'll touch on Tom Rogic because he's retired, the invincible game we won with the last kick of the ball, Rogic's last minute against Motherwell and barely last few minutes against Rangers to win the Scottish Cup, I think it was the Scottish League Cup semi-final. And then you can go back to Strachan, even Lennon, the last times we played Lazio, funnily enough, we'll tie into that as well. Two really late goals. So it's always been the kind of story of Celtic, is this kind of fairy tale endings, and that was one of them. It's just, I would hate to be in a title race against Celtic, because we dig out the results, and if you go on opposition fans' forums, you get a really good laugh at the reaction to it. I think he's a great finish, by the way, for Matt Riley. I think he takes it well. His run's perfect, the ball in. I think for Greg Taylor is superb, and then it's just pandemonium. I think Rodgers was running right down onto the park, and fans were on the pitch, and it was just a great result. I mean, really, you could have turned your telly on at the 87th minute, and that was the kind of, that's when the game really started. But just those kind of results can do so much to damage other teams' hope and also give us such a lift. And I think it did. I think it put a span on the works at Ibrox, and that resulted in another huge result for us, where they actually lost to Aberdeen. So now we've got a 7-point lead over them. And that was before October, and that resulted in Michael Beale losing his job. And, you know, I must be honest, Van Bronckhorst, I didn't hate with all my guts and burnt me fear and all that. I didn't think he was a prick. I thought Michael Beale was a total dick. I thought he spoke some amount of absolute nonsense. He waffled, and he was just arrogant, and just a total arsehole. All that lucky man stuff with Ange, and even turning up at Ibrox when he was a QPR manager to put pressure on Van Bronckhorst, and just a total waffler of a guy. And I think he thought he was a lot better than he was, and he's been quickly seen off. So a very funny weekend if you're a Celtic fan. They built him up to be completing this superb rebuild, and to just see what happens this season. And you know, they've got Steve Davis and Alex Reyes, their management team. So, no, a great weekend, and credit to the players, and big credit to the manager again. He's had four reasonably tough away fixtures, and he's come through with 12 points. So I think for us to be seven clear, when, and I still don't think we're anywhere near the level that Brendan wants us to be at, or the level he will take us to, I think it's just excellent, and I think tomorrow's absolutely huge.
I definitely will come on to tomorrow in a wee minute, but I agree with you. I thought the game on Saturday, I thought there wasn't much quality in it. I thought we were all right at the first half. I thought it was just one of the ones where the ball didn't quite break for Kyogo, or I think Scales had the header on the first half as well. But I thought we were in complete control, because from what I'd seen the previous week, Motherwell had, they looked really good the week before when they played Rangers. And I don't know if I was, like, I wouldn't want to be too harsh on them and say I was expecting more from them. I thought Celtic just completely nullified them. And I know Scott Bain, as I said, had two good saves, but I thought on the whole we kept them quiet for a lot, and they've had a decent start to the season, so I think that sort of deserves a bit of credit in itself. We obviously had a few changes with the likes of Scott Bain coming in. Yang, I thought, was actually all right the first half. I thought he was always looking to get involved. I know he went off at half-time for James Forrest. And just in general, as I say, I thought we were all right. I think everybody was getting into the game buzzing, because obviously we had the Atty contract on a Friday, and then Matt O'Reilly contract announced on a Saturday morning as well. It was a real good feel about the club at the moment. And as much as I agree with you, I think when Palmer scores, you're delighted, as I think defender and the keeper sort of don't take responsibility, and all Palmer does is just puts it in a dangerous area, and that sort of thing can happen where it just evades everybody and goes in. Massive moment for him. I look delighted with the way we won it, but I would have been delighted if that had been the winner as well, because for a new signing, it's obviously a massive moment for him getting his first goal, and scoring it in front of the away end as well would have done him the world of good. Hopefully boost his confidence as well. And then, as you say, I think we just sort of turn off when it's quite a foot to go. We conceded was criminal. It was like your 95th minute, and as you say, I think the initial header is clear from Scales, but then when the ball sort of breaks, like you see in one of the angles of the replay, that Scales sort of just sort of comes out and pulls himself out of position, and that allows Spittle to put the ball away. I don't think Bain had much chance with it, and as I say, like although they scored the 95th minute, like, Tony, you mentioned it, it's like the thing that's been so consistent with Celtic teams that we've grew up watching is a never say die attitude. Like, you went back as far as like Stratton and Lennon, obviously Rodgers in his first spell as well, and it's like I mentioned last season at McDermott Park, like, but the patience we showed as well was really good, because we sort of played it from the back. It wasn't just sort of aimless humping it up the pitch and hoping for the best. Like, we bring it forward, and then I think it's Nat Phillips that plays it out to Greg Taylor, who the ball from Taylor is absolutely phenomenal, and I think Forrest sort of makes a run which pulls the defender away and leaves O'Reilly to drift in at back post, and as you say, fantastic finish. Top scorer in the league at the moment, he's just been unbelievable, Matt O'Reilly, and I thought he was a wee bit quiet on Saturday, but pops up when you need him, and as I say, just another massive moment. Like, at the start of the season, when you've seen these fixtures coming out, I think everybody would have been pretty happy if we 19 points out of 21, when you looked at, you had Pittodrie and Ibrox and Fir Park and Livingston away, like, it's just sort of first four away games. I think, like, I know everybody was disappointed when we dropped the points at home at St Johnston, but that's, I think that's just a sort of anomaly, and it doesn't really, like, reflect on how the seasons went. And on that day, like, O'Reilly had a few good chances that day, could have even more goals if they didn't win, and we could easily be sitting flawless at the moment, but I'm not going to complain. Well, 19 points out of 21, we obviously did disappointment in League Cup, but as you say, I think Rodgers has just come back and started excellently in the league, and I think there's that real feel-good factor's coming back, and hopefully that sort of topped off with a good result tomorrow against Lazio. But before we move on here, Andy, I'll come to you. As Tony says, we were on Derry watching it, and there was quite some scenes in the pub we were in, but what did you make of Celtic's play in general on Saturday?
Hi, as both of you have covered, I thought we were in control for large parts of the game. It's just fucking never good for the heart, but it's the best way to win games, as we've spoken about a million times, and it was one of them. Is the sort of game when on you were starting to fear the worst, and you think when Palmer gets the goal late on, you think, oh, that's it, just see it out, and then they've equalised 95th minute. And I thought the difference in scenes for the 95th to the 97th minute were quite something. People are obviously losing their rag a bit, us three included, which is understandable. And then obviously O'Reilly sticks that in, which was a great finish. But the game itself, as I say, we dominated the ball for large parts in the first half. I think we had a 60-70% of the ball, same again in the second half. We had enough chances. I think it was they just weren't clear cut, or we weren't sort of making the most out of the wee half chances, and it just felt almost as if it wasn't falling for us. I thought Motherwell they defended reasonably well. I think they're probably a bit unlucky at times, but it's that attitude that the players have got, and Tony was right when he said it's something that Celtic have sort of had for sort of my entire life, really. You know, they've always got that last minute goal, even when we're not playing great. But I think it's a big thing, especially I think that Palmer's came in and came off the bench and got his goal, whatever it was, 10, 15 minutes later after he came off the bench. You're starting to see, hopefully, the new guys come on, and you want them to kick on for there, start to make an impact. Obviously, we've been troubled with injuries, and I think that shows, and I think it's a big reason why you essentially need guys to become like Palmer, sort of hit the ground running, if you like. Obviously, that's for his third appearance. Probably if you can find the minutes he's put up here on the pitch together, you're probably just about making 90 there. So you need these guys to take him in and sort of hit the ground running, and that hopefully will be the start of that. But I think it really just speaks volumes about the team. I think you've seen what it meant to obviously the fans, and then the way Rodgers went, and the players, the smile on their faces after the game, and it just really looked as if the sort of spring was back in the step. It was massive. I really do think so. And it couldn't have felt with a better player to get that winner at the moment. Matt O'Reilly's been fucking outstanding for us this season. Probably a player of the year so far. Obviously, we've not played many games, but I would say he's probably the front runner. He's getting the knack for putting the ball in the net, which is something that he was probably criticised for a wee bit last season. I know he had obviously had a lot of assists, but something I think most people would have said they felt we needed to add to his game was goals, and he seems to have been finding a knack of doing that. It's a great run, and it's a great finish, and he's sort of weaker side when the ball came across to his right, so brilliant. But I just honestly just buzzing for, like I say, performance was one of the ones you felt as if we just needed a really clear-cut chance and a bit of luck or something to get the ball in it and get us going. It just felt like it could be one of the days. But to get that, to really sort of hopefully kickstart guys like Pat Ulmer coming into the team, and then just to get through that game. We've had a hard start to the season in terms of the teams that we've already played. Motherwell were in good form. We've already played, obviously, Rangers. We've played up at Pittodrie. Really. There's been difficult games in there. Just buzzing to get the win, to be honest with you, the fashion that we've done it. And I think it feels like one of the results that, you know, you just kick on for. Because you know this team's based on last season as well, when the season before, the players who we already know so well have got multiple gears in them. And then you're seeing improvements in guys like O'Reilly. And I think we all know what Roger's done before. And then obviously you've got the new guys coming in, as I mentioned, with Palmer coming in and getting a goal. You hope that the other new boys who are there can sort of follow a similar suit. We've got so many who have obviously been rocked with injury, but Phillips getting off the bench, getting minutes, you would expect that was probably done with an eye towards the Lazio game, which I'm sure will come on to. But I'm just buzzing. I think that sort of thing obviously gets you up. It's shut for it anyway, but I think, Darren, when you see that and the way we went about it, and even though we sort of took a knock in the 95th minute, the team just go again, and it just sort of makes you that bit excited to sort of see the team hopefully click into gear and really start motoring, because we've not played half as well as you know that we can, and I've just got every faith that really is not only O'Reilly that's going to take sort of strides forward in their individual performances this season. I think there's going to be quite a few players doing that. And I think results like that make that happen. They make players sort of step up, and players know they can make an impact for the bench. And I'm looking forward to it, and I'm actually looking forward to obviously the game against Lazio. I do think we can get a result, which I guess we should be talking about next.
Aye, definitely. I think just what he says at the end is right about, I think for the new signings, like games like Saturday are like, it's all right, guys in the dressing room telling you what Celtic's all about and seeing it on videos and that, but I think like them experiencing that and seeing the scenes and the fans and just what it means to everybody and that never say die attitude, like as you say, hopefully like the players, especially the new signings, just sort of come on leaps and bounds from that. But as you say, we've got Lazio next. We're recording quite late on Tuesday night, so it's less than 24 hours to go. And it's match day two. Celtic currently sitting bottom of the group due to the fact that obviously we lost our first game in Rotterdam to Feyenoord, and Atletico and Lazio drew one each, thanks to Lazio's goalkeeper scoring 95th minute equaliser at home for them. Tony, I'll come to you. Last season in the Champions League, I felt that our campaign sort of fell apart on match day two when we didn't take our chances away in Poland when we were playing Shakhtar Donetsk. People might call me a bit of a panic merchant, but I think we've got a similar dilemma tomorrow, where I feel that if we don't get all 3 points tomorrow, our campaign could be in serious jeopardy, and there could be a great chance that we'll finish bottom of the group again. How are you feeling going into this, and do you think it's almost a must-win game?
It feels like a must-win game. It's not just because of the kind of points tally in the group. It just feels like we've just became totally lost in Europe. In terms of, we don't really do much in it at all. And it's a bit disheartening. I love the fact how we've kind of mastered domestic football, and the days out and the memories we've had recently have been phenomenal. For Ange, to Brendan the first time, even some of the stuff under Lennon was really, really good, and it's been an amazing kind of few years. But I just feel desperate to make a mark in Europe, and I think a lot of people are the same, where we want to be competing in Europe and building for Europe, and I think that's what Postecoglou was doing. Then he left after 2 years, and the kind of building stopped a bit. And I guess still, I don't want to harp on transfer window. I thought we could have been better, but I feel we need a win. We've no one at home in the Champions League for 10 years, which is shite. It's just not good enough. It's as simple as that. There's been opportunities to win at home a lot since then, in terms of under Rodgers, we probably should be beating Anderlecht at home. I think Bayer Leverkusen or watching Gladbach turned us over at home, sorry. Under Ange, you would like to be doing a bit better against Leipzig, should be beating Shakhtar Donetsk. Just a lot of kind of opportunities missed, really. So I feel we need to win tomorrow. I don't think Lazio have had a good start of the season. I've no doubt they're probably still a much stronger squad than us, and they've got a very good manager, etc., etc. But if we want to compete in Europe, you need to be winning your home games. You look back under Strachan, and even I think Lennon's 2012-13 campaign, beat Barcelona, drew with Benfica, beat Spartak Moscow. Strachan was able to beat AC Milan and Man United, etc. So you need to be Lazio are now the same stature as some of the big teams we've beat over the years. So yeah, I feel as though it's a must win. Is a draw mean you're it's done when there's only going to be a point between us and Lazio? I don't think so, but then you're up against it, because then you need to be looking to beat Atletico Madrid and then trying to get something away, because the doubleheader against probably the best team in the group. So I don't know if we spoke about Feyenoord. I can't even mind the last time I'd done a video. We're as inconsistent as ever, but I felt there for the first 45 minutes we were well in the game, we're going to get something, and we just conceded a dreadful free kick goal. So I feel as though if we could beat them all, I think we've probably pretty much had it, unless we pull out some kind of miracle double header against Atletico where we come out with 4 points or something like that. But I must win for me tomorrow, and I think we will win. I don't know why I've just got a feeling that this is it, that we're due a win, and it's going to come tomorrow.
I'm with you. As I say, I think it's pretty much must win as well. And as you say, it's 10 years since our last home win in the Champions League. And I know we've not been there every season. We've obviously had Europa League wins in that time, and obviously won a Europa League group. Qualified with 2 games to go under Lennon in the Europa League as well. So I know it's not been completely terrible, but 10 years with a Champions League win isn't it great, considering that we've had the priority route to Champions League for 9 out of 10 of these seasons as well. And like we've harped on enough about how 20 years since a knockout win, well, that's halfway there to for 10 years is obviously half a 20 in terms of how long since a home win in the Champions League. And even the Anderlecht win a few years, 5-6 years ago now as well, that's getting on. Like, and as you mentioned, there's been a lot of times where we should have been capable getting a win at least one occasion, and we're fully aware that these teams have got bigger budgets than us for the most part, but there's been occasions, and you mentioned some of the big names that we've took down in the past, and there has to be something that that we can sort of turn the switch. And I think it's just imperative just for years going forward as well, because I think it gives the players belief as well. If they can get that big win at Celtic Park, or didn't have a Celtic Park, of course, but any Champions League game, to get that win would just be massive for the players' confidence and belief in themselves. I don't think it's the case anyway, but if it goes on for too much longer, they will start to think, oh, we're just a top four team there to make up the numbers. And I think Namora is a great opportunity. Lazio, first seven league games, have only got 7 points, and I think Sarri's under a bit of pressure, but obviously a great manager throughout the years. And as you mentioned, on paper, get a far stronger squad and has cost a lot more to build as well. Andy, how are you feeling in it? As I say, Lazio 7 points from the first seven league games, but they did manage to very late on hold Atletico Madrid in the first game. How do you see this game like panning out for Celtic, and do you agree with us that it's possibly must win?
I think you need to, let's be honest, we need to call our Champions League form, and to an extent, obviously we've got sort of Europa League groups and go to knockout rounds, but our sort of Champions League form and knockout round form football has been nothing short of a disgrace at times. So I think we need to be open and honest about that. I think people are too sort of reluctant to criticise in any way, and which we've banged on about for as long as we've been doing this podcast, to be honest with you. But I think we need to call it for what it is at times, and it's a fucking disgrace. The way we go about it, it's hard to watch, like you say, 10 years without winning a Champions League home game. It's at Parkhead is mental, absolutely mental. Especially the way, because some people still bang on about it being a fortress and all this nonsense, which it's not. It's not been for a long, long time. And that's down to, obviously, a multitude of factors. The finances is fair enough. I think you can understand that, but you only need to look at other teams of their stature who they pull out results, who don't look at it the same way we do. I don't hear the same excuses for sort of clubs of a similar size. We should be getting into this game. I mean, if you think about under guys like Strang, there was still a financial gulf. But you had that belief that absolutely every team that came to Parkhead did. It didn't matter who it was. We could take something off them, we could beat them. I think that's gone for a lot. And it comes down to that. A lot of listeners, there's some things you can't legislate for, but it just seems that every time we make an arse of something in Europe, it's never... Obviously, there's been times you've been played off the park, like when you go to the new camp and get battered and stuff like that can happen to MD, but a lot of the times you feel like a close result. It's just urine individual errors, it's urine mistakes, it's no taking chances. There's just so many of them that we can think of early years. And I think that's what really sort of kills us. So hopefully the Mora can be the start of that change, or the day whenever this goes out, but that can be the start of that change, because I think sort of getting that monkey off your back, if you like, really could make a massive difference. But the players have had that, they got that fearlessness in them under Angie Sheen. Like, although the Madrid game is the one I'll point you to sort of most recently, of that first half, like what could have been. Because you've seen the players play with that fearlessness that we've not really had. They went toe-to-toe for large parts, and quality shone through in the end. That's fair enough. There's a reason they won the Champions League about fucking 400 times. But we really did go toe-to-toe for the entirety of the first half. If McGregor sort of shot goes in, it's maybe a bit different. But it shows you that you can, at home on your day, things going your way, you really can go and put your own stamp in the game and play your game. And listen, there'll be times where that can change, but I think it's too often we're just happy to accept that mediocrity. And a lot of that does fall at the bold store. We need to be open and honest about that. We've no went and improved when we should be improved. We never improve for a sort of position of strength, it seems to be, which is our sort of biggest downfall at times. And we're sort of too keen just to look across the city and make sure we're better than them domestically. But I think the more, I've got a good feeling about tomorrow. I do think they're there to be got. I said that when we drew Lazio, I don't think they were a great side. I would argue they're probably a weaker side than the one we played in the Europa League when they're learning. I think they're probably a weaker side for the most part. There's a lot of the same players there, but they've also lost guys like Milinkovic-Savic, and I don't think they replaced them. In any time I've watched them or seen them recently, I know they got a draw by Atletico Madrid, but Atletico are one of the teams that are either fucking brilliant or absolutely shite. So I think there's a right good opportunity there to go and just get rid of that whole, we'll win a home game in the Champions League for 10 years, just get rid of it and just go and win that game. And I think that makes a massive difference. And similarly, I think you can't be looking at it and say, you know, a draw would be all right. We'd maybe, a draw's no good enough. I think we need to be honest about that as well. If we really want to get out of this group, whether it be second or third or whatever we're looking at, we need to go and win the game and get 3 points in the board. We've said for years and years and years, you need to be winning your home games. And then, because it's a different kettle of fish when you go away from home. And obviously the fans have got the, we can be that extra push that players need, and we can push them over the edge. And you hope that, you just hope that the more is that day that can change. I believe we've got the quality there. It could be in a better place in terms of injuries, but listen, it is what it is. Just, you play at this level, then it's not just about the 11 you put out, it's about the entire squad that you put down when the squad list came out. We could be in a better place, but I think there's still enough quality there. There's still enough players there who can hurt teams, who, when there's a bit more space, can make things happen. You've got to play a game. Nobody the same as when you play teams domestically and they're all, you're trying to break them down. Look, there'll be space, there'll be times to hit them on a break. Look, I fancy our players and the quality that we've got in the team to be able to do that. And I've said that when we started. I think I've got a good feeling about them all. I hope it's not just utter shite, but I think there's a chance we can go and we can get 3 points on the board and just put in a right good performance. I think sort of the result with the Motherwell game will just, the players are going to be losing me confidence for that. And I know it's a different ball game, but I think morale will be high. And I think with the belief that the previous manager put in them and the belief that a guy like Rodgers will put in you, I've got no doubt that they'll be walking out there feeling like world beaters, and hopefully they can go and sort of put on a performance to match that.
I certainly hope so. We'll look at the team we think will line up now. I think assuming that Liam Scales is one of the centre-halves, I think about nine of the starting line-ups are already set. With Joe Hart coming back, I think you'll get Alistair Johnson, as I say, Liam Scales I'd expect to start as well. Greg Taylor at left back, I think midfield three of Itati, O'Reilly and McGregor will be there. And then it'll be Kyogo and Maeda joined by that's the two positions that I'm not so sure of. I'll come to you, Tony, at centre half. I know Nat Phillips came off the bench on Saturday and played half an hour. But I think sort of one good thing about his recording as late is that Brendan Rodgers has had his press conference, and there were some pretty promising comments regarding Cameron Carter-Vickers, saying that he's ahead of where they thought he was going to be and he's had a good week training. So I think there's been some speculation about people wondering whether he might get brought straight back in. And then obviously the other winger, I think it'll be between Lewis Palma and Yang. Although I know James Forrest has played a bit the last couple of games, so he might even be in the mix as well. So how would you line up? As I say, I think about nine of them are set in stone almost, but the two positions I've mentioned, who would you be bringing in for them?
I don't think Vickers will play. I think he hinted he could maybe be in the squad, but he says he won't risk him. So I think Vickers will still be after the international break, but maybe just put him in the squad just to give the fans a bit of a boost to let them know that he's close. So I think Nat Phillips will play in there, and I think you need to give Palmer the shout, I think, and let him have a right full 90 minutes, or we'll see how the game goes, obviously, but let him try and make a real severe impact in the biggest stage. I thought Yang was kind of off the boil on Saturday, and can't be James Forrest, I mean... It's just, it's just gonna be, James Forrest gonna be starting a massive Champions League game for us in 2023. I'm not gonna go into why. I think anybody listening knows that. I think that'd be a surefire way to deflate people would be to start Forrest. And that's not against him personally, but he's just no good enough to be starting a Champions League game for us. So I really hope that doesn't happen. So I think Palmer's the sensible one, obviously Kyogo Maeda. Midfield, Hatate, O'Reilly, McGregor. Backline, Taylor, Scales, Phillips, Johnson. And then Joe Hart will be back as well. But I thought Scott Bain was actually okay against Motherwell. Made some really good saves, actually. He was better than okay, so credit to him. And he was all right against Livingston as well. But no, Joe Hart will be back between the sticks, no doubt.
And did you disagree with any of the two positions that I've mentioned that Tony says?
No, as you said, the manager obviously came up with some positive comments, and I think a lot of the team probably did sort of pick itself. I don't know. I don't think there'll be any mad surprises sort of springing up in terms of, I don't think you're going to see it. Bernardo or anything coming in. I think the team for the most part will be fairly simple. It'll be McGregor, O'Reilly, and Hatate in the middle and things like that. But I'd probably agree with Tony, to be honest with you, in terms of how we're going to line up, unless there's anything between sort of the game kicking up and the warm up. But I don't know what it is, as I say that. I'm just really looking forward to the game. There's something in me that I fancies to get a result. I think just between the feel about the place, everything that's going on at the minute, there does seem to be a bit of a buzz again. The manager's reaction to the goal, and then I know Lazio, as I said, I don't think they're the same team that we've beat previously. So hopefully the stars are aligning and we go out and get a positive result.
I think I agree with you both about Palmer. I think he'll be the winger that comes in, but I don't know. I've got this feeling that Vickers might just come back. I don't know. As you say, like Roger says, he wouldn't risk him, and of course I wouldn't want him risk, but I feel, don't know, maybe you're right, Tony. Maybe he will just be put on the bench to give the crowd a bit of a boost, but I don't know. I've just had a feeling since he said it that there might be something behind it, and I think Vickers is by far and away our best defender, so if he was ready, then I think it's one of your biggest games this season. Unless it was he wouldn't take a massive risk on it, but I think if Vickers thought he was ready and the physios were happy with it, I wouldn't be against it. But I will. We'll see about 6:30, 7:15 tomorrow when the team's announced, I'm sure. Juanes will be right, and because I think Palmer will start. I think he spent a few million on him, and as I say, that goal on Saturday will do him the world of good, and he had some decent moments against Feyenoord as well, and with more confidence and more time with the squad in him, then hopefully he can get a big moment again tomorrow. We'll get predictions at the end, but Tony, I'll just come to you now. You mentioned it earlier, the words great and legend and hero are sort of banded about a lot, but I think every one of them sort of applies to Tom Rogic, who announced his retirement today on Instagram. What did you make of that news, and just what are your sort of favourite memories of Tom Rogic? I know just give Gig Pod a wee plug. I know last season when he left, last year when he left even, that they done a great episode on his sort of time at the club. I'd recommend people go and listen to that. But what's your thoughts on the Tom Rogic news?
I read his post, and obviously he had very important reasons for hanging up the boots at 30. And obviously we all wish him and his wife the best of luck. But he's left his mark at Celtic. He'll be forever in Celtic folklore, that's for sure. My favourite memories, Aberdeen, that last kick of the ball. I've probably spoken about it in the podcast so many times. Me and my dad still speak about it. It's just the best ever. That was just incredible. Such a special day out. But I'd be doing him a disservice just to mention that. The word Hunskelper gets brandied about quite a bit. He was right up there with the best of them. He done it at Hampden into them, he done it at Ibrox, he done it at Celtic Park. I think most of these goals might have been either at Hampden or Celtic Park, or Ibrox against them. I think, am I right in saying he only scored one against them at Celtic Park in the 5-0 game?
I think you're right, because I know when that stat about Kyogo scoring at every end was mentioned, I think it was the Lisbon Lions stand was the only one he hadn't scored against them.
Yep, that's true, because I can think of the goals. So, one of the just that one we equalised for Big Ange when we went on to win 2-1 with Carter Vickers. That was a great kind of last massive goal for us from him. So, I had a Celtic great and a really, really great player to watch. Some of his goals were just unbelievable. Even back to 2016 when Ronnie Dyler was really struggling, he dug him out a hole away to Killy. He scored big goals in the Champions League as well in terms of getting his qualification. Last minute goals against Motherwell, I think we spoke about that earlier on. So, no, you know, just a great player and so many happy memories. I don't think anybody's got a bad word to say about Tom Rogic. And as I say, it's best of luck to him and his family. I know he's moved back to Australia. So, Tom ever wants to come on and do a podcast, then we're willing to annoy him.
I definitely would love that. As you say, I think Rogic's like one of the best Celtic players of the last 10 years easily. And as you mentioned, I think Aberdeen and Rangers fans will be delighted that he's hung up the boots. I'm sure when he was left West Brom, people were a bit worried that he might just gear again, because he definitely had the knack of scoring plenty against them. And just absolutely loved him and was gutted when he left. I know it started that season, people sort of were writing him off saying, oh, I don't know if he's going to be able to go again under Ange, and did he still have the engine in that for it? And anyway, not to be player of the year, he was just phenomenal that season and just a real asset to Ange as well. And like, I think you mentioned as far back as like Dyla, like that goal at Rugby Park was just tremendous. And he was just so consistent in big games, like you've mentioned, Hampden, derbies, European games. He was just a real class act, and like he called the Wizard of Oz for a reason. And he just, at times, the ball seemed attached to his feet. And as you say, it was obviously family reasons why he's retiring at that age, and you do wish him well. And as much it may actually be a first that we give a bit of praise. I know he mentioned that Peter Lowell and Dermot Desmond were influential in helping him and his wife in their sort of fertility issues, so credit where it's due, they've obviously helped him a lot in that. And I completely wish him all the best, him and his family, and I always be welcome back at Celtic Park. I think 30 years from now when we're all sitting retired, they'll still be right up there with the best Celtic players we've seen, I'd say for sure. But Andy, what's your thoughts on Tom Rogic retiring?
As you said, I think the Wizard of Oz really sums him up. A tremendous football player. He gave probably a multiple generations of Celtic fans who weren't old enough to remember getting sort of major in Europe the best day of their lives in the Invincible Treble. I think that will live long in the memory. It's what we spoke about before about our greatest games and everything, and it's always right up there. But it wasn't just one isolated incident with Rogic. As has been mentioned, winners against Motherwell, winners at Rugby Park, winners at Ibrox, and snapping one of their legs in the same process. Like, it was just memory. It's highlight reel after highlight reel with Rogic, and he was one of the players that you just always felt something could happen. He could get a goal at anywhere. He could set somebody up. You were just always buzzing to see him in the starting team, and he sort of struck fear into teams that he was up against. But tremendous football player, great servant for the club, and as you said, he will always be welcome back. And sort of speaks volumes about the person as well. But I don't think I've ever heard anybody say a bad word about him. And then again, obviously, it's to retire and obviously get back to Australia and sort of take care of his family and stuff, then good luck to him. And I'm sure we'll see him back at Parkhead one day. And as a fan, and I look forward to it because I gave us nothing but good memories.
Yep, definitely. So I all the best to Tom Rogic and his family. But we're closing in on a 45-minute mark, and I know this is going to be less than 24 hours before the Lazio game, so we may as well get our incorrect predictions in the new. I'll go first. I think it might be a repeat of the Europa League game at Celtic Park a few years ago. I think it might be Celtic 2, Lazio 1. I think the teams will be quite tightly matched, and I don't think there'll be a massive scoreline on the cards for either team, but I think that Celtic, as you two have alluded to, and I agree, I think there's a good feel about the club now, and I think Namora is a great opportunity to get that win on the board. And I think Kyogo will get the first goal, and then who'll get the second? It'll probably be Matt O'Reilly. He's just on fire now. I don't know when Lazio will get their goal, hopefully 99th minute, and it's the last kick of the ball. If they get a goal, and there's no time to even worry about an equaliser, but I think Celtic will get their Champions League campaign back on track and get all 3 points tomorrow. Tony, what's your prediction?
I'll go 2-0 Celtic. Kyogo finally to get that Champions League going. I'll go for Matt Riley as well. Don't get me wrong, would I be surprised by any result? No, but I'm hopeful. I'm trying to be hopeful. So 2-0 to the leather belts.
Andy, you're going to wrap us up with a trio of predictions of Celtic wins?
No, you beat 3-0. I think we'll win 3-1. I think it'll be 2-0 at half-time. They'll score, and then we'll go back and put the game to bed. I do actually fancy O'Reilly being the score sheet as well. I think he's sort of coming into the form of his life, and I think that'll continue. And then I'll go for Maeda and Kyogo to get the other two goals. And a 3-1 win, and as you say, kickstart the campaign and really sort of take us up a notch to the next level. And as I say, get rid of that whole no winning a Champions League home game in fucking 10 years.
There you go, some positive predictions to wrap up this episode. We will be back at some point. I know we've been very inconsistent the last few weeks. We will try and sort that. Some might say we're lucky to be in a position, unlike some Cockney car salesmen who were let go at the weekend. But we will be back, hopefully discussing a Celtic victory. We've obviously got the Kilmarnock game on Saturday coming up as well, and we'll be back after that. It was an international break, so I'm sure we'll manage to get you some content out during that as well. But thanks to everybody that's persisted and came back and listened again. We do appreciate it. Just remember to be liking, subscribing and sharing where you can. It helps us out. And let us know what you thought in the comments or over on our Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. We'll put the links in the description so you can make sure you're getting the latest content. But aye, hail, hail, and cheers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.